All right, and everything's recording. Good. All right, and we are live. Thank you, Jeff Berwick, for being on the show, also known as the Dollar Vigilante. So last time I was watching you cruising around with your Chihuahua Apples, you talked about this, the TZLA Club, this amazing technology. And you know, here, I guess you could say at Radiant Creators headquarters, we do everything from Rife frequencies to PEMF, you name it. And, you know, I know that at a certain point of enlightenment, we can just heal ourselves and we can heal with the laying on of hands. But, you know, an actual technology that really, really works, I believe in hitting something with, you know, why tickle it with a feather if you've got a 30-ton pile driver? So let's do it, you know? And it seems like you're getting really amazing results. So, well, first of all, thanks for being on again. And how are those walks in Mexico doing with the Chihuahuas?
Oh, great. Always awesome. I always love walking with my Chihuahuas. Of course, I miss Lucy, but we got Apples and 30 other dogs here.
Do you actually have 30 dogs?
Approximately. I haven't really fully counted them all, but it's well over 20.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, dogs are definitely the secret to a happy life. So that's wonderful. Yeah, it's really true. I kind of missed what happened to Lucy. I kind of missed a couple shows there, and I figured since she wasn't there, something happened, you know. But Apples is there with you, so that's awesome. Jeff Berwick definitely does a great show, Walking with His Chihuahuas. I'll definitely link to that in the show notes because you want to see it if you want to keep up on, well, kind of making light of the apocalypse and being able to be ready for it. I don't see it as some great, terrible thing that's ahead. But, you know, if you're ready, then you'll be thriving. And that's a good thing. And Jeff Berwick is definitely helping us do that. And also kind of creating a little bit of levity while he does it, which is wonderful. And so how did you get into last time I saw your show? You talked about, you know, TZLA Club, the amazing Tesla technology that you guys are using. And there's quite a lot of people that you reference. And here in the little flyer that you guys make, you can see a bunch of real kind of heavy hitters that are using it. So really, how did you get involved, and what is it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a long story, but
that's fine. Let's hear it. Yeah.
Basically, to start with, about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, I began, I actually did some psychedelics. I did ayahuasca and then a boga, because I was basically depressed and also drinking a lot. And I kind of recognized that I needed to do something if I wanted to stay in this 3D video game. To make it a lot better. And I actually, after I did a boga, I began meditating quite a bit. And that went on for years and years, where I would meditate at least 1 to 2 hours a day for, at least for the last 5 years. At the beginning, time flies. It's probably been like 7 or 8 years I've been meditating at least an hour or two a day. Today I meditated for about an hour, actually, which is really short for me because actually I had to come on to do this and I had a bunch of other things to do today. But in general, I am almost always doing a couple hours a day. And also I kind of live kind of almost completely present now. So I'm kind of almost always meditating now, but that's sort of a preface of how this all happened. So I was doing all these meditation stuff, which was incredible. Really changed my life dramatically. As I was doing it, I began to realize more and more what this experience actually really is, which I equate to something like a 3D video game or like a dream. Actually, a lot of the older Vedic and many other sort of spirituality sort of things talk about this. It was about a year ago, actually just almost exactly a year ago, that a person came up to me at an Acapulco, and we were having a Vigilante Insiders Club meeting with incredible people in our club. And he said he has this amazing technology, which is based on what Nikola Tesla was doing 100 years ago. But it's been improved on by basically a mad scientist in Mexico. And he gave me, well, he didn't really give me one, I actually bought it off him. I said, well, I'll buy one off you and I'll try it out. And I did try it out. And I noticed that I had like way better energy fairly quickly afterwards. And I started doing it on because he said it cures everything. So I was like, okay, well, we'll see. I get a lot of people telling me lots of things and you never know. Actually, one of the first things I did was on my dog, my Chihuahua, Bruce Lee, who had his entire left eye was completely white. And he's quite old. He's actually older than Lucy. He's 1 year older than Lucy was. And those things kind of tend to happen or can happen as dogs get older. So I was just kind of like, well, I guess he's going to be turning blind now or something like that. And I thought, well, I'll put this Tesla machine on him. I put it on him for 5 minutes. And the next day, most of the white from his eye was gone. A few days later, I put it on again, and it was basically completely gone, and he could see again. And so I was like, wow. Okay, so maybe this guy was right about what this is. Then I had a maid, and she was just about to quit. She actually has been working with us. We consider her part of the family, and she was basically crying. She said her back had gotten so bad that she can barely walk, and because of that, she can't work with us anymore. And we were all very sad, and I thought, well, I've got this supposedly incredible machine here. I'll put it on her back, and I did. I put it on her back for about 10 to 15 minutes. Later that week, I saw her walking with my son, with him on her shoulders, and they've been walking for miles. And she actually has, her back has never been a problem ever since then, with one 15-minute session of the Tesla. So again, I was like, wow, that's pretty incredible. And then I had Nance, same thing, back problems for decades. Put it on, gone. And this just continued on until I said to him, I said, this is incredible. Like, what did you give me here? And he's like, I told you, this is like incredible. Basically what Nikola Tesla was working on, which is kind of interesting because Donald Trump's uncle and the CIA came and took most of his stuff and his technology and actually left them basically bankrupt and basically like almost killed him, if not killed him in a hotel room, I believe. And that was, back in like the 50s or something. And he was developing this stuff in, I might have the times ranges wrong slightly, but, a long time ago.
Yeah.
And this sort of healing, Nikola Tesla had created basically healing machines using plasma type technology 100 years ago. And if you go back and you read about what people were saying about it, it was basically curing most people of most things, very similar to the machine I have. And then all of a sudden, they made it almost impossible to get that sort of technology. It kind of just disappeared. There's still some of those machines around. Some people still have them. There's still a few hundred of them around. But they actually use old big tubes and stuff that you can't even get anymore. And so if they stop working, that's basically it for them. And they also can't run very long. And they're also pretty, compared to what I have, they're very, very basic. So what had happened is this mad scientist in Mexico had figured out not only how to do that, but without the big tubes that it needed, but also how to improve it dramatically. I think they say it's about 500% stronger. And it also, he figured out a way to get it better into your body using just basically light bulbs that you can just buy anywhere, which is great because, I go through them about every 2 months. So you just go and buy new ones on Amazon or anywhere, and that's fine. And I was looking at all this and saying, I think you've got something massive here. And so just so you know, I'm not like part of the company or anything, but I know the people and I've been helping them a lot because they've been growing like crazy. Yeah. And then we just continued on to, they started selling them and people started buying them and other people were having all these incredible things. One lady, the most amazing one, she was just about to have her legs amputated and, her son got her the Tesla machine and put it on her for, I think, about a week or so. And then she started walking again. She actually started walking. Wow. She couldn't walk. She was going to have her legs amputated. She actually was walking 3 or 4 miles a day, a week or two after the Tesla machine. And she went back to the doctor and the doctor was like, well, I guess we won't have to amputate now. He was kind of trying to find out like ways that they still could and stuff as doctors will do. But the point is, he completely cured her of whatever the problem was. And we've gone on now. We had it in Acapulco last month. cured numerous people. One person had multiple sclerosis. She could barely walk to where the machine was. And when she was done, she threw away her cane and she walked 3 miles afterwards again. This just continues on and on. Max Egan cured a woman who had myocarditis after taking a blood transfusion from someone who had been vaccinated. She had all the doctor's stuff saying she's got myocarditis. She felt horrible. She was a young lady, like about 20 years old. She had no energy. She could barely get out of bed. She had myocarditis. Max Egan put the machine on her for a few weeks, and she went back to the doctor, and there's no myocarditis, and she feels better than she did even before she got the myocarditis. So all of these things have kind of led me to start really telling people about it. This all happened sort of organically over the last year. And now it's gotten to the point, and I could go on. There's like dozens of other stories like that. I cured another lady just last week who was about to die. And she, 20 minutes later, she was like walking and smiling and just left. Like these stories happen all the time. So basically I'm at the point now where when I'm talking about it, I am not only confident, I'm sure this thing is absolutely miraculous.
Yeah. And it's actually sold and shipped, I guess, as a science kit. And that's how it gets around customs and such between countries, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, when they were talking to me, they said, you know, if Big Pharma or the CIA and people like that know that this exists again and that people are getting access to it, they'll probably try to do everything they can to stop it, because this thing basically cures everything. It actually de-ages you. I actually have de-aged 20 years in the last year through a quantum bio feedback machine. I did a test at Anarchapoco. My tissue age is 30 years old. My metabolic age is 33. And that's just, you know, the number 33, right? But that actually popped up, which is kind of interesting too, because, you know, Jesus died at 33. I've actually heard the number 33 isn't necessarily a bad number.
No.
But they use it all the time to show all of their stuff they're doing. But it was very funny to me that I saw my metabolic age is actually 33 and my energetic age, so the energy in my cells, is 10 years old. So,
oh my gosh,
I'm 54, wow. Just so you know. Yeah. Oh, so
awesome.
They were, when I was talking to them, they were saying, yeah, like once the powers that be, the big pharma type people, the CIA and all the people above them, discover this is out there and being like, people can get access to it again, they'll probably do everything they can to stop it. So, as I was talking to them, they said, yeah, so I think we're going to keep this underground. There's not going to be a corporation. It's going to be a private members association. You won't even know where it's coming from. They ship it as a science kit. So what you do is you become a member of a science club, which is actually amazing. This is one of the most amazing things out there. There's about 200 people in it now, all basically experimenting with this plasma technology and having incredible discoveries. And they ship it as a science kit. And so far they've shipped it to, I think, 20 or 30 or more countries in the world and haven't had a problem yet, because it just looks like it's a science kit. They actually design it that way. Some people say, well, it's kind of expensive for something that doesn't look like a lot. And it's like, well, they do that on purpose so that it won't get stopped by governments and customs.
Makes sense. Yeah. And if people go to the website and check it out, you can get emailed a brochure. And so you can see some pictures of it. You know, there's not a lot of deep pictures of it, but you'll get an idea of what it looks like. And one of my favorite pictures in the flyer about it is that one. I love the old school stuff. Like you mentioned, it's not new. You know, this is a better version of something that's been around for quite a while, ever since Tesla's time. Yeah,
and I think it also was around way before that as well. And this is just speculation, of course, but I don't trust anything that we're told about history. But
yes,
so many people talk about all these old massive structures that were so intricate, and they had all these antennas and balls on them and stuff. And we're told, oh, they were built like 100 years ago or 200 years ago, and they're just churches. But there's a lot of evidence that they've been around for a lot longer than that. And my speculation is that all those antennas was actually to take the plasma out of the ether and concentrate it into that one building, which, you know, you could kind of consider a church, because you're basically, the plasma to me is God life force energy. So you're getting basically direct connection with the life force energy of God in that church, and connecting, which also I get with my meditations, by the way. I get incredible meditations when I do it with the Tesla machine, and it also probably healed people. And I kind of you know, when you look back at like those old Roman sculptures and stuff, first of all, who did those sculptures? Those are pretty amazing sculptures. No one does anything like that anymore. But secondly, it's always of like the most perfectly ripped human being, like absolutely perfect in every way. Then if you read like in the Bible and stuff, it says, yeah, people used to live to 300, 500, 700 years old. So I speculate that this sort of plasma that you could get out of the ether, possibly through these structures, is possibly how that people used to be that way. They used to be basically perfect and live for hundreds of years. And here's the cool thing. I've now got it in a little box, which is incredible. and it's been shown now to actually be de-aging me. I've de-aged 20 years. It's going to be very interesting. I'm going to probably take a few more tests and stuff that, you know, any scientist or anyone can actually look at. I'll bet I actually can prove, like in every way you want to look, that I've de-aged by 20 years in the last year. And when I do, all these biohackers and, you know, like people like Brian Johnson and stuff, who spends like millions of dollars a year. And he's like, hey, look, I reduced my telomere length by like this much. So I got like a few months younger. It's like when people like him find out about this Tesla machine, it's going to go pretty crazy. And I think it's actually going to change the world. But we're going to see what happens and how they try to stop it. That's what's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially if something becomes like, you know, right now it's being produced and sold, but as a technology, if it does become sort of an open technology, like here's how you make one, then there's really no stopping it anyway. You know, once that cat's out of the bag, you know,
it's basically at that level already. Like basically, yeah, like you could get a machine and pretty quickly figure out how to make one yourself probably if you wanted to. The thing is, you know, most people don't want to. So you've got it right there. You can just get it, buy it. And then you're also in the club with it, which is super important because no one knows how to even use this technology or what works. And like we've been discovering that you can actually put it in like baths and stuff like that and charge the water. And that's what I've been doing. I've been meditating in float tanks with charged plasma water. And it's absolutely unbelievable. So I think the cat's already out of the bag, and I kind of wonder, like, they're not going to be able to stop it at this point. Even if they found every single person at Tesla and put them all in Guantanamo Bay, this stuff's already out there. People will already be able to figure out how to do these sort of things on their own time and, you know, if they want to put it all together and all that kind of stuff. So I think that they can't actually stop it now. And this is going to be very, very interesting. But one of the funniest things is, like, so many people have bought it. They can't get their wife to use it. They can't get their kids to use it, even though they're showing them that it's had such incredible effects on them, because so many people are so basically mind controlled and basically NPCs that if it's not on the television, or if the government doesn't say it's good, or if it's, you know, like, not sold to you by a doctor in a butcher's coat, a lot of people won't do it. So I think a lot of people will wait decades before they even try something like this, which is too bad for them. And they probably will die in the process because they're trying to kill everyone on Earth right now. But some people already have access to this technology. So in some ways, this is kind of like a renaissance or a new modern golden age, so to speak, but way different than what Trump has in mind. people will now be able to basically heal themselves of anything, become actually perfect in health, actually reduce their own age. Like this is when I talk about the apocalypse is the lifting of the veil, right? And so what comes with that? Well, we're starting to really notice all of the evil stuff going on. And then that's something that everyone has woken up to over the last 5 years, especially since the COVID's depopulation agenda with the vaccines, obviously. So, but now we also are starting to rediscover these old technologies. So it's actually an incredible time. And I've seen a few people kind of speculate that these sort of technologies come back right before they do a great reset. And by great reset, I'm not even talking about Satan Klaus Schwab's reset. I'm talking about they actually kill everyone on Earth, basically, and restart with orphans again, is what some people believe. I don't know if that's true. I definitely can't prove it. But we're definitely at some sort of incredible time in history right now. I can say that much.
Oh, for sure. And you know, some people even look at it like that we have the grand slow minimums and maximums that are about every 400 years and so, and we're at a minimum right now. We're about to turn up around 2030. And, you know, as we know, there's always that, just like on a chart, like looking at a you know, a commodity or something, you can see there's always this transitory period. We see where you change direction, where you have a turnaround. And so we're at the bottom, we're bouncing kind of around at bottom through 2030. And then during that time, historically, people who've studied this, like one guy, Sasha Dobler is his name. He wrote a couple books on it. There's a bunch out there. And we have this, even though the Earth has a hard time with this magnetic, you know, shift, and, you know, we're in the sun's, you know, magnetosphere. And as it changes, we have, you know, we have challenges. So hard time to be human, hard time on Earth, kind of. But we have these existential supercharges that go through humanity too. So hard time on the planet, but amazing time. If you are awake, then you're going to get this plasma supercharge, and like all the gifts are right there. They start to show up. So it's like, it's all good and it sucks. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I also put it as there was a movie about it. It's hopeless, it's hopeless, but not serious. And that's kind of the other way I look at it. Because in some ways, some of the things are kind of hopeless, but in some ways, there's incredible things going on. And at the end of the day, from my perspective, this is all just an experience we're having. And this experience is actually made for each of us individually in what I call this 3D video game. And so we're basically at the most interesting part of this video game right now, with all like the old world, which I call the old world order, which people still call the new world order, but they've been around forever. They're losing their power in so many different ways right now. And it's going to be fascinating to see how all of this plays out.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah. Well, I like the way you put the apocalypse really is lifting the veil. And I think that's a great way to put it, because that is, some people aren't going to lift it and look underneath it, but some, you know, certainly are. And yeah, when it comes to aging, this is one of the things that I like about living longer. It's not that I just want to, I don't think that the desire is to be feeble and just live a little longer and not be quite so decrepit at 100 and fall over. We know people used to live a lot longer, or at least we suspect. I think one of the problems our society might have is we don't live long enough to get wise. Like by the time somebody's in their 60s, they're just so wrecked that they just fall over and die. And that's the problem. Like when you start to get a little wisdom, you're dead. It seems that
way. It's kind of true. Like maybe, you know, I think maybe we'll look back at it when we're living like 400 years again.
Yeah.
As anything before 100 is like basically like a toddler. Like how we look at a toddler, like, oh yeah, he didn't know anything. It is sweet. But he didn't. So that totally could be the case. And, like, as you pointed out, with people, like, I hear people say they want to live forever all the time. And for me personally, I don't. I don't want to live forever. you know, it's been fun. I love all the parts of it, all the different things you go through, even the aging and then all that sort of stuff, and all the family you have and the people and all that stuff and your dogs. And that's great. But do I want to live for 10,000 years? Not really. That actually sounds to me like a nightmare, because you'd eventually get pretty tired of all this physical material stuff, which isn't even real. Which brings me to sort of my point is that when I hear people say, oh, I'm trying, like, for example, that Brian Johnson guy, he's like, I want to live forever. I at least want to live to like 130 or something. It's like, well, yeah, if you can do it and you're still completely healthy, I can understand that. But there's a lot of people who are basically just trying to like live an extra few years, but they're like really in bad shape. Like they're physically bad, they're mentally bad, their minds like just constantly like destroying them. But if you can do the work, which I've been doing with the meditation, and get the renewed body and then live for hundreds of years, that would be very interesting. But I'm just thinking about it now. Like if my family, once my wife and my kids die, and then I guess maybe my grandkids die, like I don't really like, that's good enough. That's good enough. I'd be actually more sad than anything. I'd just be missing the people that I love so much. I know I guess I'd be like 20 years old, 100 years from now, and I could have a new family, but I don't know. Like, to me, this isn't about trying to live forever. Actually, when I do these things, just so you know, I people say, Jeff, you're like probably the biggest biohacker on earth. And I actually am by far with all the stuff I do. And I'm talking about the Tesla machine. Hardly anyone has it. I've got hyperbaric chamber. I've got a cryotherapy chamber. I do all kinds of stuff. And that's probably also helped me with my health stuff. But I'm not doing it to live longer. I actually do it because every single thing I'm doing makes me feel incredible, like amazing. Yes. And when I feel amazing, when I meditate, I can connect even more, and that's even far beyond incredible. So that's the main reason I'm doing these things. I'm not doing them at all because I want to live longer, or I want to, it's cool. It is cool. I've just sort of started to recognize this. I only found out about this a month ago that I'm de-aging. It's cool that I'm de-aging, and yeah, great, awesome. But that's not the reason I'm doing a lot of these things. The main reason I'm doing it is because as I do all these things, I'm connecting more and more with Source, and I'm getting like just nonstop downloads. And I'm basically almost always in a basically like joyful state. It's not like a giddy joyful, but if you ask me basically every day, Jeff, how do you feel today? Great. like good. Like, oh, this just happened though. Aren't you sad about that? Well, kind of, I guess on one level, a little sad, but everything happens for a reason. And yeah, I feel fine. Like, I'm basically like that. That's what I've been, the key for me, the thing that I've been wanting to do and I've actually basically achieved now is basically being almost completely present all the time. And when you're completely present, your mind doesn't yap. And that's what actually causes most people's problems. Their mind's always going, oh, you better worry about that. Oh, what happens if this happens? And all this kind of stuff. I don't really have that most of the time. So because of that, I'm just like almost like a child in terms of like, if you ask a child, like a 1-year-old or 2-year-old, how they're doing, like, unless something really like they're unhappy about just happened, they're always great. Right. And that's basically how I am. And with all the physical stuff I'm doing, it just adds to that and gives me even more of a just feeling incredible. Like when I do the Tesla machine in a Tesla bath, and then I go into a hyperbaric chamber and push the plasma even further into me, when I get out of the hyperbaric chamber, it's kind of like I'm on ecstasy. It's like, oh my God, I feel so good. Like almost orgasmic, you could say, like a long orgasm for like an hour afterwards. So that's the main reason I do a lot of these things.
That's amazing. And so meditation has definitely played a part. And I'm curious, when you mentioned meditation, like what's your methodology when you meditate? What's your methodology while you're meditating? Oh. Like what's your process? Because I mean, meditation means a lot of things to different people. So like, what's your method? How do you get into it? You know?
Yeah. It's kind of funny because I never actually looked into how to meditate. I just kind of recognized that it was something that I sensed. I kind of intuitively kind of knew that was something that was going to lead me somewhere good. So just so you know, when I first started, what I would do is I would have a puff of weed. And weed for me was like, I can't do anything for like hours after I have one puff of weed. Like I am so like not in my brain, like in my mind, which is good, that like I can't function in the real world if I have even one puff of weed barely. Like that, I'm like a super lightweight on weed. But what that did was, so I'd go into a room, I'd have one puff, and I'd know for the next hour or two, I can't do anything. I'm going to be just in that room. I'm just going to have to deal with whatever comes up in my mind. Mm. And I did that for years. And as I did that, all these things would pop up, like some feeling of like sadness would pop up. And I'd kind of like look at it and go, where's that coming from? And I'd just like be kind of silent breathing. And all of a sudden a memory would pop into my head of something that happened when I was a child. And then I would think about that. And then at some point I also would, as I had these feelings, what I would do and what almost everyone does is when you have these feelings, and sometimes these feelings are horrible, right? Like,
yes,
like complete sadness like you've never imagined, complete depression like you've never thought was even possible, complete fear of certain things that you didn't even know were in there. And so when they would pop up for years, I would do what almost everyone does, and that's run away from them. So it would pop up, and I'd go, oh, you know, just try to think of something else or something, right? But at a certain point, and this all happened the last couple of years, I got to the point where I could look at them and actually stay with the feeling. So I would go into the sadness feeling or whatever it was, or shame. Shame's another big one. And feel it. And it felt so horrible, but I would actually just let it be and just breathe through it. And then it would actually release. So that's what I did for like 5-6 years, just stuff like that. I basically call it like self-work more than meditation. Now, though, because I've been doing it for so long, I've actually reached the point where I'm mostly in a meditative state all the time, but I still do meditate. So what I do every day, just so you know, I actually have where's my brain? Oh, it's over there. I have a brain tap. That this is something I've just been doing the last month or so. There's a thing called a brain tap, and it's got like a headset with lights, and it plays like audios in both your ears. It basically puts you into a meditative / hypnotic sort of a trance. And you can actually reprogram your mind with it. It's incredible. You can make yourself, if you don't like going to the gym, you can make yourself like going to the gym. All of a sudden you just like it. You don't know why. You reprogrammed your own mind. So I usually will start off the morning with that. And lately, for the last few weeks, I've been doing Wim Hof type breathing with it. And it's been incredible. It's been so incredible. And so I did one yesterday, and it was 30 minutes, and it was pretty hard to get there. Like you got to be focused, and like it's work to keep doing that breathing. But when I was done, I felt like I was basically on ecstasy. And this is what I do with the brain tap usually now, is I'll do that for like 10 to 30 minutes just to start off. And then when it's done, I'm already in a deep meditative type state. So I just take it off and I just close my eyes, and I'm just there for like today. I was just there for an hour, just eyes closed. And, you know, sometimes the thoughts would come in, and sometimes I'd notice them. Sometimes I'd follow them. Sometimes I'd, you know, just let them be, that sort of a thing. So there's no like I hear about people, they use mantras, and there's people who do certain other things and transcendental meditation. I still don't even know what that is. All I've been doing and what I do right now is I just go every morning and lie down and close my eyes. And basically very quickly, I'm basically in a meditative state. And then, you know, an hour or two passes and I might have some epiphanies. I might have an incredible pleasurable feeling. This is actually brand new to me. For 5 or 6 years, it was like getting the crap beat out of me every single day. I'm so happy I'm at the stage now where it's actually like the best part of my day. It's like, oh my gosh, I get to go to meditate. Like that feels so awesome. But there's no technique. There's no nothing. Basically, when I try to describe this to people who don't know about meditation, I'll usually ask them, I'll go, what do you think meditation is? And almost everyone says, well, you're trying to like basically force your mind to stop. And I'm like, okay, that's not what it is, because you can't. You cannot force your mind to stop. What it is being present and watching your mind. And what most people don't get is that, and most people don't even know this, that your mind is not you. And the reason they don't know that is because they've never watched it. if they ever get to a relaxed enough state that they can sit there and watch it, they'll go, holy cow, first of all, this thing's pretty crazy. Like it's nuts. Like it has like all the most irrational fears and crazy things it wants to do and all this sort of stuff. But as you're watching it, you just have this moment where you go, wait, that's not me. So if that's not me, who's watching it? And then over time, you can kind of get to a point where you're like, oh, that's me. I'm the one watching. So you just kind of over time get to a point where you just realize that your mind is not you, and neither is your body. They are a part of your experience, but they're not you. And you basically just end up watching your mind is really what I call meditation. Now, if I meditate for like an hour or two, sometimes I will get so relaxed and so really deep into the meditation that I actually will basically not be here, but I'm not sleeping. I know I'm not sleeping because I can tell the difference. And basically, you basically leave this consciousness level It's like almost like doing a drug. And you're all of a sudden on another level where time doesn't exist, space doesn't exist, and it's basically just this feeling of complete peace. And sometimes that can go on for like a couple hours, and that's incredible when it does. And like when I finish, I'll go, oh, that was amazing. And I'll go, well, I guess I should stop at some point, right? And so I'll look at the clock and it'll be like, what? It's been like 4 hours? Wow. I thought that was like 30 minutes maybe. Like I had no idea. And that's what you can kind of reach different levels of.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I like that you mentioned Wim Hof, because well, I mean, he's become quite popular the last few decades, but I think every year he becomes better known. And yeah, when you get into the breathing, it is work. That's one of the hard things about it. It's a workout, you know, but when you get nice and super oxygen saturated and then you hold that breath and you like, and then, well, I guess then you take your big deep breath and you hold that. I mean, you feel like your body turns to electricity. You have existential experiences. I mean, it is definitely, you know, one of the cheat codes to enlightenment. Definitely is. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I actually have heard people talk about Wim Hof for years. I kind of tried it once or twice. I didn't really get fully into it. But in the last few weeks with my brain tap, I've actually gotten into it, and it's incredible. It basically, that's another form of meditation in my opinion, because you're completely present as you're doing it. You can't think about anything else as you're doing it. And that's basically what I would call a meditative state. So you're basically completely present, and you're pumping yourself up with so much oxygen. And it's almost like you get into an ecstatic sort of a state, almost like you're on ecstasy again. But this deep feeling of peace, like, and I like on the brain tap, it'll tell you something like, okay, hold your breath for as long as you can now after you've done all these breathing exercises. And whenever he starts talking again, I'm like, I can go like another minute or two. Like, I am so like, I am like, I think partially because of all the meditation I've done, like when I get those breathing exercises, I can go like, I haven't timed it because you don't even think to time it when you're doing it. But I would guess like 4 or 5 minutes, I could probably go without breathing and feel completely fine. Like actually feel better than fine. Feel like you're on ecstasy the entire time. It's awesome. Like I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. I'm glad you had the great experience with it. And I'll have to check out the brain tap. I think I know what it is, but I'll have to like search for brain tap and see what that actually exactly is, you know, because it sounds interesting for sure. And then, so
it's one of my favorite things. Like someone asked me the other day, what if you had like three things that you could keep, because I've got like 50 different things I use for things. If there was only three you could keep, what would they be? And I told them, I said the Tesla number one. If I didn't have this Tesla machine, maybe I'd go back to being depressed. Like seriously, like it has added so much to my life that I would be very sad, like incredibly. I'd actually devote my life to trying to find out how to get it back. That's what I would do, because it's that important to me at this point. Then I said the second one is the brain tap, which is this like little headset that puts you into these meditative states and actually reprograms your mind. It's so incredible. It's such a nice addition to the meditation. And then the third thing I said was a hyperbaric chamber, which after I do the Tesla and I'm pumped full of plasma, you go in the hyperbaric and you basically push that plasma even deeper into your bones and your organs and stuff, and you can feel it. And usually I'll fall asleep, like almost every single time I'll fall asleep, and I'll wake up like 2 hours later and feel like I'm on ecstasy. So those three things are the only things I need. Like someone said, can you do without everything else and you'd be like totally fine? I'm like, yeah, if I just had those three things, I wouldn't need anything else at all. I like barely even a house. Like if you just left me by the side of a river and I had a tent, but I still had a power connection to work the Tesla, I had the brain tap and I had a hyperbaric chamber, I'd be pretty much like, well, life's perfect. You know, like there's nothing else I need other than this.
That's awesome. Wow. I love that. The three pillars of enlightenment. You know, I like that. Well, with the Tesla machine, one of the things that you mentioned while you were, you know, chatting about it while you were on your walk, you know, was, of course, one of the things was trauma. I believe, was like helping people let go of trauma. Because I think that, you know, right now in our society, we definitely have a traumatized society. And I've also come to find that I think that stress ultimately is a form of addiction. You know, it's an energetic state that we become addicted to. So it seems like people really have a huge need to get rid of the trauma addiction, the stress addiction. You know, Eckhart Tolle kind of calls it the pain body, you know, but we have an issue and people need to kind of, they just need to get rid of that grip that those energies have on them, and they would start to really fly. A lot of people are right there trying to get past their stress and their trauma. And so how does the, have you noticed the Tesla machine helping with that?
A lot of people have told me that they felt really stressed out and they did the Tesla and they felt amazing afterwards. As far as traumas, there's a ton of traumas that are actually stored in your body physically. Yes. And they're also tied to a story. So what I was doing for a long time was I was meditating with the Tesla machine. So I'd lie down, I'd have the two bulbs in my hand, and I would actually just let my body start going wherever it wanted. And because I was in a meditative state, very quickly, I'd reach a point where my body would just be doing things and I'd have no idea it was doing it. Like if I wanted to pay attention to what I was doing, I would just look at it and go, oh, that's weird. It's down on my calves right now. I wonder why. And it would actually find certain areas. And you can tell when it finds a certain area that needs something, it starts to get really hot. And oh, so I would just keep it on the area and it would actually release those physical traumas. And because I was meditating at the same time, I would actually kind of feel or know the original trauma and release it at the same time. So, yeah. But as for your point about trauma, every single person on Earth is massively traumatized. That's why this whole Earth is a giant mess. And there's a thousand reasons why they are. And even just birth itself is a trauma you know, you will have your entire life until you actually deal with it, and that you can deal with it through meditation and stuff like that. For example, circumcision, massive trauma. Yeah. It's actually, I still have not moved beyond it. I still have traumas around it that I'm still working on. But beyond that, there's like the time that your mom hit you when you were 3 years old and you didn't understand why, and you thought she hated you and all this sort of stuff. And it all gets locked into your subconscious and stuff. When I look at the world, you know, you see these people and it's like, well, every kid should go to school for 12 years and go into an indoctrination camp and be forced to sit in a desk like when they want to be running around, which they should be, and be forced to learn things they don't even want to learn. Like me, I never wanted to learn math. I had no interest in math, but I had to sit there every day, and it would actually just, that was like a trauma of mine. But when I look at the world, it's like, man, if everyone, instead of doing all these insane things, would actually know to work on their own traumas and know how to do it and actually did it, that would change the world massively overnight. Absolutely massively. That's the biggest problem with humanity today, is they're all so massively traumatized, and even far worse now with even what happened the last 5 years. People being locked in their houses, scared to death of dying and all this kind of stuff. There's so much trauma out there. This is just a absolutely traumatized realm that very few people actually do the work to get rid of. I don't like to use the word get rid of, but like to deal with or to release is probably the best word. Yeah. Release their old traumas. And you can see it in almost everyone. Like when I talk to people, I can see their traumas. If I talk to anyone for a minute, I can see at least one or two traumas. I can just see by what they said and how they said it, how their body moved, how their eyes looked, that they've got some trauma in there and they don't know it. And our society today, especially, who talks about this? Absolutely nobody. Zero talks about dealing with these traumas. And so you've got an entire world of traumatized people. And when they're traumatized, they do insane things, they do horrible things. And talking about addiction, that's actually due to you running away from your traumas. And I learned that myself. So when I was drinking tons, when I look back in meditation and stuff, and I looked at it, it's like, why did I drink so much? It was clearly obvious. And then when I even thought about it even deeper, it's like, yeah, every time I'd have this feeling of sadness or pain or shame or anything, or even a social anxiety, all that kind of stuff, any sort of pain, I just got used to grabbing a glass of poison, and the poison would make it so I wouldn't feel that pain in the moment. And over time, you kind of just keep using it, and then it kind of just takes over everything. But that's where all addictions come from as well, is from trauma.
Yeah, it's true. And you mentioned social drinking, and isn't that funny where, you know, where some people will say, oh, I'm a social drinker, you know, which really means the only way I can deal with being in society is to drink. You know, the only way I can deal with being in a social situation is through drinking. And, you know, I know I'm guilty of that sometimes as well. I go, oh my God, it's going to suck to go do that. But well, I'll just grab a glass of wine as soon as I get there, and I'll get through it. It's very true. It's very true.
Yeah. You know? That's like, had to learn for the first time how to be social without alcohol after basically my entire adult life. If I was in a social situation, I'd always be drinking. And for that same reason, I was not comfortable. I did not like it. That sort of a thing. But after I had a few drinks of poison, all of a sudden, you know, I kind of appeared to like it and appeared to enjoy it and all that kind of stuff. If you would have told me like 40 years ago, like, go just take a course on how to be social. Like, even those, what are they called? They're called day game type people. So what they do is they learn how to talk to women in the daytime.
Oh, yeah.
For reasons of wanting to date them and things like that. And that's a whole other story. But basically, just go take a course with a guy like that for a week and get through your anxiety about being social. And you actually, what you have to do is just learn how to be social. So that's what I had to do. So, you know, the first year after I stopped drinking, I tried to avoid any dinner at a restaurant for the next year because it was so uncomfortable, because I didn't know what, like, how do I enjoy this without having a glass of wine? I'd never done it my entire life. I just had to learn it. And yeah, it was hard. It was hard for like a year just learning. It wasn't hard because I needed the alcohol. It wasn't this need for the alcohol. It was a uncomfortableness with having to learn how to enjoy having dinner like a human being, which I totally now can, but I had to actually just learn that. So that's the thing that people don't understand. And if they did, they would go and just figure out how. And the thing is, it's hard, right? All these things are hard. So like, I could tell someone right now, they could go, why, you know, if I go out to dinner or to a party, I have to drink. And I could tell them exactly what I just said, and they'll probably still go and drink. And the reason is because it's hard. Yeah. They like, it's just like, well, I'm going to not have a good time at this party tonight. It's actually going to be really hard. I'm going to have to really look at myself and really analyze, like, why can't I relax in this situation? And eventually, over numerous times, learn how to do it. And then everything's perfect, but it's actually hard. And so your average person will almost always take the easy way out. And the easy way out is almost always going to destroy them in one way or another.
It's so true. And I think the Germans have a word for it. I always call it Messerschmitt, but I know it's not. It's like, oh, I can't remember, but there's this German word that's called world pain. And it kind of relates, and I think it relates to like the trauma. So do you ever feel like if you're walking out in society, if you're walking out in the town, that you can actually feel the trauma, like almost like it's weather, like different days have different kind of like, as the weather changes, it feels like depending on what's going on, the trauma weather changes. You feel it differently out there. Maybe you might be clear, but you're feeling it. Does that ever happen? Or?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like if I rarely go out in society anymore. It's just, you know, it's just, you know, they're so dumbed down now and so traumatized, and it's just, you know, not that enjoyable to be around. I'd much rather just be here meditating. But when I do, and I do go out, and sometimes I see it almost instantly. I can actually see it in people when they're driving by in their car. I'll look into their eyes and go, oh man, I just saw like a ton of the trauma right there.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well,
and you know, like I'd like to be able to help them all, but you know, you can't. So what I do is like, if something just really comes right into my sphere, so all of a sudden, like let's say there's a gardener here or something, and I happen to just bump into him and we happen to just get talking and he kind of just tells me about something. And if I see a way that I can help him, I will. But like, I don't want to go out, like everyone's traumatized. Like there's no way I can go out and do it with every single person on earth. And plus, even the people you try to help,
Yes.
A lot of them will hate you for it.
Yes. Yeah. It's absolutely true. Yeah. And so you just had in Acapulco took place, and now that one's in the can, I guess, as they say, and you're going to be offering that people can watch the lectures. They can buy that and watch, and they can download the lectures and such. Is there like a, what were some of the high points? I don't want to keep you forever, so thanks for your time so far. And what were the highlights of Acapulco, and why would people maybe want to get that and check out some of these amazing presentations?
Oh, man, if you even somewhat enjoyed our conversation today, you will love pretty much every single talk. And there's like 40 or 50 of them over 5 days at Acapulco. It was the most incredible event. And I'm not just saying that. I actually was just sitting there watching a lot of the time going, this is incredible. Like the most incredible people saying the most incredible things. Probably the biggest one was a guy, if you don't know him, his name's Christoph Melchizedek. He's known as the love shaman or something like that. He actually did a thing with me and helped me release some major trauma. that was very interesting. And then he did on my wife and he helped her release one. And he did on my daughter and helped her release one. But his speech was mind-blowing. I think your average person would see the speech and go, well, that was just insane. Like, how do I even compute what he just said? But if you actually are able to listen to what he's saying and what he's been doing, it is pretty much the most incredible thing I've ever heard. He's basically just short story. He's been doing the self work and all this sort of stuff for decades. So he's basically what I would call enlightened. And he's been working for decades with other people like him to try to figure out how to fix this world/matrix. And using things like a boga and all kinds of things, they've gone into different dimensions and stuff to actually see how this entire structure has been put into place. And it really is a structure. Like I call this the matrix. It really is. And he's been working with people, like hundreds of people, and they've been going to places like the Vatican and the City of London, where he says they've got actual anchor points that have these energies in them, and they've got them all over the world. And that's how they kept everyone in this basically simulation/matrix sort of false reality, which it is. And he said that he's removed so much of it now that they're massively losing power. And he said, I think by the year 2030, I think he said, they will have lost complete control completely. Like zero control whatsoever, and we'll actually go to some sort of incredibly different world at that point. And it's kind of interesting. I saw some two people that say they talked to Pleiadian aliens. I forget their names, and they were channeling that. I know this sounds crazy to most people, but I've done so much work, I can kind of see a lot of this stuff already. Not necessarily like Pleiadian aliens and stuff like that, but I can see how this is all completely possible in this experience that we're in. And when I hear something and I look into them and I get the intuition that it's correct, I just listen. And, you know, they could be wrong or whatever. But these aliens were saying that actually everything's going to shift. Get this, on March 21st of this year, we're going to go out of the Kali Yuga into the next Yuga. And they said it's not going to be like any events going to happen on that day, but most people will definitely sense that something pretty major has changed, and all the kind of evil stuff that was doing so well in the last Yuga will start to become like, it'll go away a lot, and people will start to connect a lot more, and they'll actually get some of their abilities back, things like telepathy and things like that, which I believe is totally, like, my wife's telepathic, so that's real. I think we all used to have those things, but for some reason this has all been like taken from us, including things like the plasma from the Tesla and all that, and all of a sudden it's all coming back. And I'm not saying it's going to come back like next week and everything's gonna be perfect, but I found that very interesting that they were saying that. And I looked into like what they've been doing and what they've been talking about, and it seems totally legit to me. And that kind of goes to what we were just talking about too, right? Like there's a huge shift that's just starting to happen right now. And we can see it. We can sense it. The Tesla plasma is one facet of it. And who knows? This might be all happening as soon as like starting next week. And then by the year 2030, as Christoph said, that they might have lost all their power to control people's minds in this matrix. So yeah, super, super interesting thought. And even if that's none of that's the case and everything just stays the way it is, I'm still fine. So yeah. It's all good. Just keep doing what I'm doing and keep enjoying it. I've never enjoyed it like I am right now. Like I actually have a sort of a, what you could call like a guru, like mm-hmm. most people kind of do. I found one years ago. His name's Shunyamurti. He's at a place called Sat Yoga in Costa Rica. Everything he was talking about just aligned and felt right with me. And I've actually, a lot of the meditation stuff I've done over the years has been partly inspired by him, because that's all he talks about is meditation. And he says basically I've kind of reached like close to the final level, and the last level is actually losing the ego completely. And what he says is, if I reach that level, I actually won't even know what I am. I'll actually be confused and kind of like scared almost, because like I won't even know what's going on or anything. But he says, you know, if you can get through that, then you basically are at that enlightened state at that point. And it's kind of interesting. So basically I said to him, I said, you know, I only just became like present and like connected to source in the last year or two, really. And it's been so unbelievably amazing. Like I'm loving every second of it, that I don't want this to end right now. And he kind of said back to me, we're talking on email. He said, yeah, you know, like, you know, enjoy that you've gotten to this level for now, if you want. It'll all happen exactly when it's supposed to happen anyway, which I totally mm-hmm. believe as well. But if you were to offer me the chance to become 100% enlightened right now and lose the ego completely, which is what he says is the ultimate objective to do in this physical body, I actually wouldn't do it right now. I'm like, for the first time in 53 years, because I'm 54 now, I'm actually enjoying it. I never really enjoyed it before. Like I kind of did. If you would have asked me if I was drinking 30 years ago, hey, you having a good time? I go, yeah, I'm having a good time. I'm, you know, there's women here at the club. I'm having some drinks. But was I really happy? Not at all. Not at all. And I hadn't dealt with all these things. But now I'm like 100% present, and I'm still in this body. And I know this body and this mind aren't even real. And it's so amazing. Like, I don't even want this to really end. But if it does end, it's all good. Because at the very end of the day, there's only one thing that's ever existed and will ever exist, and that is the consciousness of the creator mm-hmm. that has created all of this. And so there actually is no way to lose. There's no way to actually lose this game. But you can make it a lot more enjoyable by doing all the work on yourself, which takes a lot of work, but it's very worth it.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. And so you mentioned like March 24th, March 25th is when we see a shift. Or that's,
well, they said March 21st, and okay, I think it's first. Because that's the equinox or something like that. But here's a funny story. I just mentioned it to my wife, who's incredibly mm-hmm. spiritually connected, and she meditates and prays every day, and she helps us avoid so many problems here on Earth, like hurricanes they send after us and stuff like that. She gets messages and stuff. But I just told her like an hour ago, I said, I just heard that the whole energetic shift of this realm might change on March 21st, and her eyes opened up big. And she said, I heard March 23rd.
Wow.
And I said, where did you hear that? And she goes, I got it from source. And I was like, holy cow, maybe it's true. Maybe it's all going to start shifting in like a week. Could be.
I think so. You know, I would say I have noticed in myself and in others kind of prequels. You know what I mean? Like almost like as if this is a big shift that's going to happen. So if you're in this kind of transitory phase, which we're in right now, like we're that close, so you're going to start feeling some of the turbulence. I think I'm seeing it as well. I think so. I definitely am feeling something. I didn't know about the 21st, but it makes sense when I look at what people are going through and what I've been experiencing. We're talking right now. Yeah, it's happening. I look forward to it. I'm gonna have maybe a non-alcoholic party on the 21st or something like that. You know, wow. Well, Jeff Berwick, thank you so much for taking some time and talking to us. I mean, Jeff Berwick, you can find him on dollarvigilante.com. He's on Rumble. I'll link to that. You're kind of making it on YouTube again, which is nice as well. Maybe they'll not kick you off. It'd be pretty cool if they didn't. We'll see if the energy really is getting better. And definitely do not miss Jeff's walks with apples, because you're going to learn a lot and you're going to enjoy it and you're going to laugh as the shithouse burns down. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure to be on with you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there we go.